Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you here this morning. As Trish said at the beginning, my name's Pete, one of the ministers up at All Saints. But I always love coming down here to St. Richard's. It's a joy to come and meet with you guys. So thank you very, very much for having me this morning. I'm going to start with a statistic, right? If you pray the Lord's Prayer kind of every week as you come to church like this, and you live for around 70 years or so, and given the fact that, you know, for the first couple of years, maybe you can't talk. But if you come and pray the Lord's Prayer every week for 70 years, then you'll pray it about 3,432 times in those 70 years. Which is quite a lot, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray the Lord's Prayer, it kind of just sort of washes over me. I'm not really concentrating that hard on what I'm saying. And to be honest, sometimes I don't even know what the words mean. Or I can't remember. Which is why in these weeks, we're doing the same up at All Saints as you're doing down here. We're slowing down to look at the Lord's Prayer. You know, Jesus, he is the best teacher in the world. And here he is teaching us on prayer. So for these few minutes, we're going to sit at his feet and hear what he's got to tell us about how we pray. 6 verse 10 is the line we're looking at today. 6 verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, let's dive in, I guess, right? The Lord's Prayer can be roughly split into two halves. Now, the first half kind of concerns God. Okay, helps us to understand him and what he's doing in the world. And then the second half, we get talking to him about our lives and what we need and what's going on with us. So God first, then us. And this line fits into that first half where we're thinking about God and his kingdom coming. And when it says your kingdom come, we're talking about the Father that you'd been hearing about last week, our Father in heaven. And so we're thinking about God's kingdom and what it means for it to come. But what is Jesus talking about? What is he talking about? His kingdom. Well, in the Bible, for a kingdom, you need three things. You need three things for a kingdom. You need a king. You need some people in that kingdom. And in the Bible, you also need a place. And kingdom's a big idea in the Bible. Okay, over and over again, we're thinking about God's kingdom from the beginning of the Bible right to the end. And it starts off with Adam and Eve living in the Garden of Eden. They are, so to speak, living in God's kingdom where God is king in his place, the garden, and here they are, Adam and Eve. And you'll know how it goes, right? Right at the beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve, they're given one rule. Don't eat from that tree. That's the one rule they've got to follow as God, as their king, in his kingdom. And what do? Well, they put their own little crowns on and they take from the tree and they disobey God. They completely ignore what he says. And so right at the beginning of the Bible, we see that their rebellion, what we talk about as sin, well, what's the result? Well, they get thrown out of the garden. They can't be in God's kingdom if they don't follow him as king. And that's the story all the way through the Bible. Is how God is bringing a kingdom and how he's actually trying to get people back into that kingdom, back into relationship with him as king and his people. And right at the end of the Bible, you get a beautiful picture of a whole new creation. We often call it heaven when we talk about the future, but the Bible calls it the new creation, where there'll be people living in God's presence with him as king from every tribe and tongue and nation from all over the world. There'll be people coming together to live with God as their king in his kingdom. That's the idea of kingdom in the Bible. God as king, his people living under him in his place. And it's a really important thing for us to get our heads around. It's the big story of the Bible in many ways. That the big thing that God is doing day by day by day, week by week by week, is trying to bring his kingdom and is bringing people into that kingdom. And it's a difficult thing to get our heads around, because often what we're actually doing is we're a bit like Adam and Eve, and we're kind of trying to live in our own little kingdoms. Okay, here we are, and we're concerned about what's going on in our lives and what we're doing. And in some ways, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Caring about what's going on in our lives, that's good. God cares too. But it's an issue of order and of priority. Now, we have to live with God as king first, focusing on what he's doing in the bigger picture. Allow me to illustrate this, right? Imagine you're going, sorry, I should have clicked on ages ago. Here we go. God's kingdom, you need three things, king, people, in a place. Now imagine you're going on a family holiday to Disneyland. It's all very exciting. The children are thrilled, and you get on the Eurostar train to get there. And the first thing that happens is you get on the train is the children argue about who gets the window seat. And once you've managed to sort out that squabble, next they start fighting over which card game to play on the way. Do we play Dobble or do we play Uno? Do you know what? You can play both. It's a long journey. And then finally, once they've finished that squabble and you've played a couple of games, you get out the lunch and then they start arguing about the one packet of the best flavour, salt and vinegar, that you happen to have. And they argue all about who's going to have the salt and vinegar. And obviously, as a parent, with these constant squabbles, you're feeling very calm. And so in your calmest, relaxed voice, you say to them, guys, get ahead of the bigger picture. We're going to Disneyland. We're going to go on Thunder Mountain. You're going to have your photo taken with Mickey. And we're going to the all-you-can-eat restaurant in the hotel. There'll probably be bowls of salt and vinegar crisps. Guys, get ahead of the bigger picture. And Jesus, as he teaches us on prayer, he first wants to put God in our minds, to make sure that we think about God first. Your kingdom come, not our little kingdoms, but his kingdom. Get your head in the bigger picture. He even says something to this effect. As we go on to the next few verses, in this whole teaching on the Lord's Prayer is part of a bigger sermon he's giving. And in verse 33, just over the page, he says this. But seek first his, that's God's, kingdom. An issue of order and priority. God first, then us. And one of the things that might help us to do that, if you're struggling, if you're constantly putting yourself and your kingdom first and forgetting about God, why not start praying this prayer every day? Why not start praying, your kingdom come, God, first? But what does it actually mean for God's kingdom to come? What are we really praying for? What are we really hoping will actually happen? Well, we're going to look at three things briefly. Okay, you're going to look at three things. God's kingdom coming in us, God's kingdom coming in others, and God's kingdom coming in the future. First up, your kingdom come in us. Like I said, in this world, we are all subjects of God the King. And as Christians, we are those who recognize the good rule of our Heavenly Father. We try as hard as we can not to live in our own little kingdoms. And we remember that he is King. We follow his rules. You know, your will be done, that next line says, on earth as it is in heaven. And how do we know what God's will is? Well, we look in his word, the Bible. That's what we're looking at today. And this is kind of normal, actually, right? That we follow what the king says. We follow what the rules of the kingdom are. And if you go anywhere in the world, you kind of have to follow the rules of that place. And I found out last week that if you go to Singapore, do you know this? You're not allowed to chew any gum. You're not allowed to possess it. You're not allowed to buy it or sell it. There's just a total ban on chewing gum. That's what you do in Singapore. Well, in God's world, there are all sorts of rules to follow. And as I talk about rules and kind of thinking about God as being king and us being his subject, you might be sort of starting to think, well, that sounds quite boring, doesn't it? I don't want to live with God as king, blah, blah, blah. I kind of want to be in charge a little bit. Sounds a bit dull, perhaps. A bit restrictive. Maybe hard work sometimes. God tells us things to do that are hard work. But you know what? Living as God, with God as our king, is actually the best. It's the most beautiful way for us to live. You see, because our Father in heaven, you remember our Father, our Dad in heaven, he actually knows what's best for us. And like you have, imagine you have, you know, a big inventor, right? Creates some amazing machine to do some special job. And that inventor, he knows how it all fits together. He knows how it all works best, how the cogs are supposed to turn, how much to oil them and all this kind of thing. He knows how the machine works best to produce its greatest result. Well, we're a bit like that. We're God's greatest invention, you might say. He knows exactly how we work best. And so he tells us. So in many ways, we'd be utterly foolish not to follow what he says. If he made us, he knows how we're going to be happiest, what's going to be best for us to live together in community, how to get the best results from us. And sometimes we make a bit of a mess of that, right? We don't follow what he says. As we live in our own kingdoms. And so we want to pray this prayer, remind ourselves that God's king, and that's really good. And so we pray this prayer, your kingdom come. It's a big prayer for us to pray. It requires us to kind of take off our own crowns, to keep doing that in every area of our life. You know, God isn't just king over kind of what we do on a Sunday. He's king of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. He's not just king of the things that we do out loud and when we see people from church. He's king in our homes and king in our heads too. We want to follow him in every area. And sometimes that'll be really hard. Which is again why we need to ask for his help. We need to pray, your kingdom come, God. We need your Holy Spirit's help to shape us and to change us and to help us to follow you. If we're struggling, keep praying this prayer. Your kingdom come in us. But your kingdom come means far more than just us. Okay? Your kingdom come is also a prayer that God's kingdom would come in others. Now, obviously, firstly, that can kind of mean our Christian community, right? Other people in St. Richard's. You could be praying for them. You could be praying for the mission partners you support, that God's kingdom would be coming in them, that they too would be living rightly under God's good rule. We can certainly pray that for each other. But it also means we're praying for people in this world to start following Jesus as their king too. You know, it's something that we keep trying to do each day, but some people have not yet done that. They have not yet turned to Jesus as their king. And it's really important that we keep praying this prayer, because if people continue to live in their own little kingdom, with them as king, then like with Adam and Eve, our friends and our family that don't yet know him, if they don't turn to God as their king, well then he can't live in his kingdom forever. They can't go to heaven. They can't come to his new creation. That's what God says. Which is only fair. If you don't follow the king, there are consequences. And people have to choose what they do. And so we want to pray for them, pray for that they'd make the right choices to follow God as their king. That they would take off their crowns and come to him. We need to pray. I don't know about you, I find evangelism, that's kind of, you know, sharing the good news of Jesus, I find that hard. And I'm paid to do it. And we find that hard, right? Sharing our faith. Sometimes we kind of, either we kind of have a mixture of guilt or nerves. Guilt that we don't do it enough or well enough, or nerves that, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? They might ask me a question or they might hate me and ah. Well, do you know what? The best antidote to those two things, guilt and nerves, it's to pray. To pray, your kingdom come. If God wants to use us to help bring the good news of Jesus to others, he certainly can. You know, he's our Father in heaven. He's so powerful. If he wants to use you, he certainly will. So let's get praying for his help. An encouraging story on all this. I was speaking to a retired minister a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying to me he used to pray every day. Every day he'd pray that God would use him to save just one person each year. He'd pray that prayer every day. Lord, use me to save one person, to bring the good news of Jesus into one person's life. Do you know what? He said that he prayed that prayer every day for about 40 or 50 years. And there wasn't a single year where God didn't answer that prayer. In those 40, 50 years, the Lord used him to save 40 to 50 different people. Amazing what can happen, right? When we pray, your kingdom come. Use us, Lord, to bring your kingdom. To bring more people under God's wonderful, good, kingly rule. Ultimately, as we've been thinking about already in our service, to bring them under the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever doubt what a good king Jesus is and whether he's worth sharing or not, just look at the cross. He's the king who is willing to die for us. So again, let's get praying. Your kingdom come, not just for us, but for others. And finally, your kingdom come in the future. Your kingdom come in the future. You see, right now, you and I, here we are, you can decide which one's you. We're living in this world, but it's not kind of the full expression of God's kingdom. Okay, and we know that because our world is broken and difficult. There's plenty of evil and harm and natural disasters and all sorts going on. The wonderful news of Christianity is that one day God will come and return. Jesus will one day return and take us to go home with him, to be in heaven, to be in the new creation. So right now we've got God as our king and we are the people who live under him, but we're not yet living in his perfect place. That is to come. And it will be really glorious. Imagine every frustration, every difficulty, every pain that we live with. Imagine all of that being done away with. That's the promise. That's what we're praying for when we say, your kingdom come. Take away the evil. Take away the war. Take away illness. That's what Jesus will do when he returns. Which means that every time we experience some kind of frustration or some kind of difficulty or some kind of pain, obviously it's upsetting and it's difficult and it's hard, but those things are prompting us, pushing us to pray, your kingdom come, Lord, come back. Take away these things. Take us home to be with you forever. And it's really important for us to grasp this, right? And without understanding that God's perfect kingdom will finally come one day, our whole view on life will be a bit skewed. You know, remember the train to Disneyland? If we forget what's coming, we forget kind of the whole point of it all. If we focus just on our lives here and forget what God is doing, then we're just like the children squabbling on the train about the crisps. Again, not that God doesn't care, like a good parent cares to feed their children. God cares about the things in our lives, but it's just not the bigger picture of what he's doing in the world. I wonder if this is especially helpful for us when we pray for people when times are hard, right? It affects the way that we pray into situations. You know, we pray for people. I imagine you pray for people here every week who are sick, right? You pray for people who are ill and having a hard time. And obviously that's a really good thing to do. We pray that God would heal them. That is something that God is more than powerful enough to do. And I know that of true in my life. A member of our family, I think, was healed miraculously about 4 or 5 years ago. God can do that kind of thing. It's amazing. But if that's the only thing we are praying for that person, then I think we've sort of missed some of the bigger point. It's a bit like focusing on the train to Disneyland and forgetting where we're going. We want to pray for people to be healed, for sure, definitely. But we definitely don't want to forget to pray for them that God's kingdom would come in their life, that they would live under the kingly rule of Jesus and kind of stick with him. Isn't that a danger when hard times come along, we doubt God's goodness? And we go, oh, well, if there was really a God, he wouldn't let me suffer like this. Pray for those who are sick. It's such an easy time to be tempted. Pray them for them that they remember that God is king, and one day he will bring a perfect, never-ending kingdom where they won't experience the difficulties and the sufferings of this life. Pray for them to make it there. Pray for them to keep trusting him day after day after day, that he is their best king. So, as students of Jesus in his school of prayer, that is our lesson for today. To pray your kingdom come for ourselves, for others, and for him to return in the future. And so now for the homework. To go and put this into practice. Go and pray your kingdom come. Why not pray it every day this week? Pray it for yourself. Pray it for the people around you. And pray for him to return in the future. Get that line into your prayers. Your kingdom come. Well, it's enough to talk about it. Let's start by doing it. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that your kingdom would come. We praise you that you're a king who loves us and cares for us and knows what is best for us. And so would we follow you as king in our lives. We pray your kingdom come in others, that our brothers and sisters in Christ would evermore turn to you as their king and follow you each day. And we pray for those in our lives around us, our friends and family who don't yet know you. Please, would they turn to you as king? Would you use us to share the good news of Jesus and his kingship with them? And Father, we pray that your kingdom would come, that Jesus would return and take away all the pain and the evil and the distress in our world and take us home to be with him forever. Help us to look forward to that day, we pray. Your kingdom come, in Jesus' name. Amen.